Yeah. Yeah. I would say, I don't know if it'll ever be settled, honestly. I mean, I'll always think I can do it, which is a problem. Andre and I have talked about that a few times. Like, no matter how long you go, you're like, I got a couple in me. But I definitely, the last 2 years, you could honestly, like, you could say, like, there's always that 1% in the back of your head. I definitely no longer have that anymore. I'm just comfortable. I'm at peace. We're having a new, our second baby soon. And life is very good. I'm very fortunate.
That's J.J. Watt. He was chilling, taking in Texans mandatory minicamp earlier today. Talked to the media, and somebody asked him, hey, man, you still got that itch to come back and play? Because you have to ask, right? You have to ask that question. J.J. looks the way that he does, and quite honestly, last year talked the way that he did to our own Brandon Scott. Brandon Scott at some charity, I think it was his charity softball event at what was not Daikin Park then, it was still Minute Maid Park, asked J.J. Watt, like, hey, you know, you consider coming back playing? And, you know, there was that whole back and forth, like somebody would ask J.J. a question and somebody would ask D'Amico Ryans a question about J.J. wanting to play. And D'Amico was like, yeah, you know, just tell him to call me or, you know, we'll call him if we need him, whatever it was. Nobody ever put that whole thing to bed last year. It just kind of went forgotten. So nobody asked a real six-month follow-up question of like, hey, JJ, were you really serious about coming back and playing last year? That should have been asked today, but it wasn't. But that was, and now we don't have to have the discussion of, hey, is JJ going to come back and be a part of a Texan Super Bowl run this season? Though that was kind of fun, thinking that that was a possibility for a few weeks last year, but not the case. Don't forget, JJ Watt is going to be in a different role this year as a member of CBS. He's not going to be behind the desk anymore. He's going to be an in-game analyst working with Ian Eagle. It's the number two broadcast team for CBS. Will he be doing any Texans games? Is he nervous about it? That whole thing. He was asked earlier today. Here's what he said.
We don't. It's crazy. You don't find out sometimes until the week before, but sometimes, you know, a couple weeks before. I would imagine. I mean, we have the AFC, and the Texans are obviously a draw in the AFC, so we'll have some. As far as what I'm nervous about, I'm not nervous about much because I know for a fact that half the people are going to shit on me for liking one team, and half the people are going to shit on me for liking the other team. So it doesn't really matter what I say. I'm going to get trashed either way. So that gives me a lot of freedom to just say what I want to say and just to be truthful and honest, and I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, so JJ clearing the air already. It's like, hey, I already know you're going to talk crap if I'm good. I already know you're going to talk crap no matter what. I'm ready for it. Will JJ Watt be awesome? Will he suck? Or will he be somewhere in the middle as an analyst this season?
I think he'll be really good.
Yeah, I do too.
Because he's got enough personality to be interesting. And as opposed to like these guys coming, just, I'm going to talk monotone because I only studied some stats and that's what I will talk about.
Who are you referring to? Give me.
Who am I not referring to?
They all suck.
Looking at you, Moose Johnston.
Dang.
There's plenty of guys who don't bring anything to the table. They just, I have some numbers or let me tell you about my days as a cowboy. You know, like there's more to it. JJ brings an energy and a personality and a relatability, despite the fact that he's stupid rich, where he's interesting and you want to listen to what he has to say. So I think JJ will be good.
How about this? Just realized there's a Texans and Cowboy rivalry via CBS now. Watt versus Romo. You know, Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt.
Remember
trying to take the number one spot from Nance and Romo? Come on.
When Tony first hit the scene as an analyst, everybody loved him. Last year, all I saw were people pooping on Tony Romo. Every damn week, people pooping on Tony Romo.
Was it just last year? I feel like it's been now for a couple of years.
But last year was bad. Yeah. Like people I'm like, what, all of a sudden he like forgot football?
Well, I mean, I don't understand it. I don't know
he's
what's changed.
He's always been giddy about, like, he just pops off, and sometimes he steps on the play-by-play guy's toes, and you know, so he's trying to call plays. Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't.
But okay, I enjoy that.
And when he gets them wrong, people like lose their minds.
It's
like,
yeah,
it's actually mostly because of like how they call Mahomes and Josh Allen, just how much they're like so excited about them. It kind of shows like just like they're like being fans, like fanboys, like really liking them so much, and everybody, it just kind of rubs people the wrong way.
Okay,
man, what's really liking Patrick Mahomes, man? I don't understand how you could do that.
Where's the middle ground? Because I'm with PC. You know, he's just making fun of the buttoned up, boring, you know, analyst who's got his necktie like choking him, and just he's going to be all serious and stuff. It's like, dude, it's football.
If I can be serious for a moment.
It's football. Like, have fun. And I thought that was like the cool part about Romo is that you get the former player, you get a guy with personality, and you get a guy that's not worried about like sounding perfect, you know, and saying everything the right way. And, oh, by the way, it is really cool, and it's not shocking that he was able to call, you know, plays. And I do remember, you know, people talking about how accurate he was, like, his first few years doing this, and it was pretty wild. But I wasn't shocked because, well, he understands the game that well, and there's only so much you can do in certain situations. So I think that part of it's cool. I think J.J. Watt's going to be really, really good, like naturally. Hopefully he understands and gets that he doesn't have to be like Mr. Buttoned Up and change who he is all of a sudden. Like, just be you, be funny. He's already smart, and he's already had like multiple platforms to do that. You know, he's at the desk on the weekends, you know, most Sundays.
I think he will be
the McAfee show.
Fun to listen to,
mm-hmm.
which is important because I do not need him to do his best Sam the Eagle impression when he goes up there.
Sammy Eagle?
Sam the Eagle.
Who's that?
You're in your 40s.
Who's Sam the Eagle? Just say it.
Sam the Eagle from the Muppets, the blue eagle who always talks like this.
You know, the last time I watched the Muppets, I was like 6 probably.
Not an excuse. You okay. Have a 5-year-old, you should be watching the Muppets.
You know, I tell you this all the time. I struggle with, like, how am I going to get my kid to watch and enjoy all of the same stuff that I watched? It's not like it's easily accessible. You know, you could...
It is accessible, actually.
No, it's not. Back in the day, when we didn't have 5,000 channels to choose from, you could turn your TV on and you scrolled up about 4 times, or you turned the knob about 4 times, and boom, there it was. Now, I have to go search for this stuff. And a lot of it, shockingly, you have to pay for. I can't just regularly pull up Looney Tunes. I need to buy that for like $4.99 on Disney Plus.
You want something really crazy?
Mm.
If you go to this thing called Google.
Okay, here we go.
You can put in what you want to watch
mm-hmm.
and say, where can I watch X? And it will tell you all the TV platforms that it's on.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot of homework, bro. I'm not doing
it's like 3 seconds of homework, you lazy POS.
No, and it'll tell you, hey, yeah, you can watch it on Disney Plus, Paramount Plus.
Lazy.
Here's this, here's that. Here, give us more money to watch a 50-year-old cartoon.
Lazy. It's too hard to Google something.
No, you know what I mean.
How many times have you Googled something just on the show tonight?
I'm not paying for that. I'm not paying for it. Well, one, it's my job. And
just
two,
saying. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, too.
How many times have you freaking Googled something? You're like, oh, no, Googling, it's too hard.
No.
First world problems.
It's not too hard. It's too much money because you know it's going to direct you to something that you have to buy.
Not necessarily.
Most of the time, yes.
I find that is not the case.
Or are you watching Muppets? Are you watching Looney Tunes?
Yes, actually. They're on subscriptions I already have. And you know what?
Oh, wait, hold on.
You know what? My daughter,
question.
My daughter at 17 wanted to watch The Muppets, not just because of The Muppets, but she wanted to learn because The Muppets always had some kind of high profile guest on.
You realize you're defending watching The Muppets, like the fact that I have not subjected my kid to watching The Muppets yet. You were like vehemently like, I buy The Muppets and so should you. And here's why. My 17-year-old daughter wanted to watch them just because. So she could recall her childhood years.
Yes, because she watched them when she was 6 and she liked them, but she didn't understand like who the guests were or why they were important or why they were on. Now she's like, okay, who is this person? And I'm explaining to her who they are. Because some of them were singers, some of them are actors, some of them are comedians.
You should be used to that. You have to explain that to me too.
Yes, true. And and in that regard, I'm teaching her who they are, and she's like, oh my God, she's like learning about all these like big celebrities from the 70s. including Sylvester Stallone. So I just think that was funny.
Well, you know, you can learn about celebrities from the 60s and 70s by just watching the Johnny Carson show, which I can easily pull up anytime I want to on the Roku.
You'll have no interest in that.
You're correct, but I will be explaining.
The idea is to give your child culture of real shows that we watched when we were kids.
I know, so make it readily available. Like, why are you making us pay for this stuff in the year of 2025 when something's 60 years old, literally? Like, why am I having to do this? Like, make it available. And it's not always that way. Like, even the Batman cartoons. I can't pull those up. I want them to watch Batman. Ninja Turtles. You got to pay for it.
Do you have Disney Plus?
No.
Why do you not have Disney Plus? Yeah. You watch Cars every damn day.
Because we have Cars on DVD. It's on Netflix. It's available on these other platforms.
You would have
pay for
all the Disney movies if you just got Disney Plus.
I would have a lot of stuff if I paid money for it.
And you know what else you could get on Disney Plus? The Muppets.
Shocking. Yes.
You know they have a bundle deal, right? With Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus. And last time I had it was $14.99. I don't know what the price is now, but that's what I have.
You don't have Hulu Live TV. We have Hulu Live TV.
I don't need Hulu Live TV.
Well, my wife wants Hulu Live TV so we can get live and local channels. And so, you know,
why I have Fubo.
Okay, yeah, but you're paying like $80 a month for Fubo. I'm paying like $60 a month for the live TV.
But you know what your $60 a month live TV doesn't have?
The Houston Astros. I know. But guess who doesn't need the Houston Astros? Me, because I'm here when the Astros play.
I need the Houston
and Astros. And thanks to Mr. Christopher Aloysius Santiago, my boy doesn't need Fubo to watch the Astros because we have something else that's very nice that allows us to watch the Astros for free.
I need the Houston Astros.
Well, we got them.
I also need the Houston Rockets.
For free.
For free.
We got it.
So I'm not giving it up.